tell you, I appreciated that message very much. And he was concerned. He mentioned to me, he felt uneasy about preaching. And he said, after listening to me, he was felt uneasy. I said, oh, goodness, don't say something like that. I'll have a head so big I won't be able to get through the door. And but he outdid me. I praise the Lord for that message. I really did. I don't know, for some reason, I see Brother Ivan. No, Brother, what's your name again? Cody. And you mentioned those gauchos. We have a little boy in our church. His name's Hunter. And for some reason, Hunter thinks I'm a fashion plate. Everything I wear, he wants to wear. And one Sunday morning, he came to church, and he had talked his mom into buying him a new pair of cowboy boots. And I can't wear my cowboy boots all the time because my feet swell. And so every now and then, I have to put on these things that aren't cowboy boots. And he comes in, and he's smiling. He shows me his cowboy boots. He says, then he looks down at my feet and goes, what? He wouldn't talk to me the rest of the service. Matter of fact, it came time to separate to go. He was going to go up to the nursery. And he asked a little boy to go up with him. He says, no. And the little boy says, no, I'm going to stay in the service. And he says, oh, it's boring in here. Yeah, he was out to get me from that point because I didn't have my cowboy boots on. Well, praise the Lord. I'm glad you're here. I'll preach quick. You listen quick and we'll be out of here. Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. Missions conference. What do you expect to hear during a missions conference? Missions. Amen? Missions. And if I go to a missions conference and I don't hear somebody preach on missions, I think I've been in the wrong place. Amen? You got to hear about missions. And look down here now. What are you supposed to do? All right, let's all stand. Scroll your finger down to verse 18. We'll start right there. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we do love you. We thank you for this night. Thank you for this time that we can gather around in your house. Lord, we appreciate what we have heard tonight and the things that we've seen. And dear God, I just pray that it'll stir us up, Lord. Help us to get more active in this thing that we call missions. And Lord, I just pray that these missionaries here that are representing the various fields, Lord, I pray they get their support. I pray they get to the field. I pray they get active in soul winning and church planting. And Lord, just not lose their enthusiasm. Encourage them in every way, dear God. I pray that you'll bless tonight as the word goes forth. Lord, Holy Spirit of God, I ask that you'll do a work in our midst, and I pray that you'd use this old preacher one more time in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. May be seated. Is this left over from last night? Amen. All right. Missions. What is missions? You think about this. What is missions? You know, we hear so much from the various people what they consider missions to be. You can look through your Bible and you're not going to find the word missionary in the Bible. It's not there. It's a word that we've made up. But the fact of the matter is that missions is in the Bible. It's kind of like the word rapture. You're not going to find the word rapture in the Bible. But every one of us, if you're truly born in the family of God, you're looking forward to the rapture. Amen. I think it'd be wonderful to be raptured out of this old world tonight and leave this mess behind. How about you? But missions is not there either. But the fact of the matter is the work is there. And missions is the purpose of our being here upon this earth. Mark it down. Amen. Underline it 600 times. That's the reason we're here. You got saved, and if it wasn't for missions, then God should have just taken us out of this old world. We're here for that purpose. We're here to get involved in missions, whether it be on a local level, world level, whatever it may be. We're here to be involved in missions. Regardless of the various ministries of the church, and there are various ministries of the church, missions is the ultimate ministry. The ministry that encompasses our community and the world. I want to talk about missions. I got three missions points, and I promise you we'll be out of here before midnight. We are going to go quick, okay? Three missions thoughts this evening. Number one, missions is the will of God. It's the will of God. It's God's will that nobody perish, but all come to repentance. Now you ask where that's at? 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. The Lord's not slack concerning his promises. Some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, not willing that any should perish, but that all come to repentance. Matter of fact, if you go on down there and you go in 2 Peter chapter 3 and you scroll on down, we read it yesterday several times, in verse 15 it says, the long-suffering of God is salvation. And we talked about it yesterday morning that God is concerned about salvation. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Yesterday he was concerned about salvation. He planned salvation yesterday. Today, he's out to see as many saved as possible. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Tomorrow, he'll still be concerned about salvation. He wants people to come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. He would like to see all saved. Now, does that mean all will be saved? No, there are many that will reject. They'll turn their back on the message, and they will not receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. But at the same time, as we go out and we hand out tracts and we talk to people about Jesus, we talk to our families, we talk to our friends and our co-workers about the Lord Jesus Christ, there will be some that will trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. And what a glorious time that is when someone gets saved. Amen? I'll never forget, some years ago, I had the opportunity to lead a fellow to the Lord. And it was a glorious moment in my life, and I was just a young guy, and we were out door knocking, and for some reason the preacher put me in charge of one of the teens in the church, and we were to go out door knocking, so we're knocking on a door, and the fellow opens the door, and we tell him who we are and what we're doing, and I'm trying to hand him a gospel track, and he slams the door, and me and the teen look at each other, and the guy opens the door and cusses us out and slams the door. The teen's looking at me, and I'm looking at him. He opens the door again, starts cussing us again, and slams the door three times in one trip. And that by this time, the teenager looks at me and says, let's go to McDonald's. And I almost said, yeah, that sounds like a good idea. I'm ready to go. But I said, no, let's try one more door. And so we went to the next door, and I knocked on the door. And a fella answered the door, and I said, well, my name is Cliff Bennett, and I'd like to invite you to church. I'd like to talk to you about the Lord if I could. And the fella said, oh, I'm not interested. That's all right. And he starts to shut the door, but somebody in the background says, hey, wait a minute. I'd like to talk to you. And so we had the opportunity to go in. And this fella is sitting there watching TV. He had a sporting event on. I don't remember what it was. But he actually shut the TV off. You know, how many times you've been out door knocking and they will not shut the TV off? But he actually shut the TV off. And I sat beside him and on the couch there. And I opened up the Word of God and took him through the book of Romans. And when I got down there, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, I asked him, wouldn't you like to call on Jesus to be saved? He said, yes, I would. He got down on his knees, and with tears in his eyes, he cried out to the Lord Jesus Christ and confessed his sin. I think he confessed every sin that he had ever done in his life. It was one of the longest salvation prayers I'd ever heard. And he asked Jesus to come into his heart and save him. And his name was Jerry. I'll never forget Jerry as long as I live. Jerry got up, and he had this new look on his face. He had a glow on his face and a glow in his eye. And I want to tell you something. He took me and grabbed my hand, and it's still not quite right from that way he shook my hand and thanked me. And I said, well, I'll tell you what. You know what you need to do? You need to be in church this Sunday. He says, I'll be there. I gave him a gospel tract with the church and the address and what time to be there. And he came and to church, and not that Sunday, but the next Sunday, he was baptized. And soon after that, he was transferred to another state. But the fact of the matter is, I'll never forget Jerry, how he got saved. Folks, that's what our purpose is. That's what we're here for. That's why God didn't take us after we were saved. He left us here to do something. And it wasn't just to sit back on our blessed assurance. It was to reach people for Christ. You see, it's the will of God. I've had people walk up to me and say, I remember when I pastored, and especially up in, I was in upstate New York here, and had young people come, boy, I'd like to know what the will of God is for my life. Well, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all come to repentance. Why don't you go lead some people to Christ? I'd be happy to go with you, and we'll talk to some folks. And then the excuses come out. But I'd really want to know what the will of God is for my life. Well, the will of God for your life is to be a missionary, to be somebody that wins people to Christ. That's God's will. He's serious about this business, and missions is a serious business, by the way. And so he wants all to be saved. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 2, he's the propitiation for our sins. And the word propitiation, by the way, fools a lot of people, but basically all it is the place of mercy. Jesus Christ is the place of mercy. You're not going to find mercy anyplace else other than in Jesus. And you're not going to find salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. He's the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. You can't witness to the wrong person. You can go and talk to people. There will be people that will reject the message, but you still had the opportunity to witness to them about the Lord Jesus Christ. That's your purpose, and it's the will of God. Number two, missions is the work of the church. It's the work of the church. Five times we find the Great Commission given in the Word of God. Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20, we just read. Mark chapter 16, verse 15, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Luke chapter 24, verses 46 to 48. John chapter 20 and verse 21, as my Father sent me, even so send I you. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Those are the five times you find the Great Commission in the Word of God. God doesn't have to repeat it five times to get it through our thick skulls. The fact of the matter is, He did repeat it five times, and He wants us to take it seriously. If it was there once, we should have taken it seriously. But it's there five times, and we got to realize this is the work of the church. No, He didn't give it just to the disciples back then. If He had given it to the disciples back then, it would have died with them. But the Great Commission has been carried on. It has been the work of the church. It was the work of the church then. It's the work of the church now. It didn't end someplace along the way. Somebody says, well, I don't understand. You know, it would seem to me that as much work and as much missions work has been done in Africa and Mexico and all these various places, that we wouldn't need to send missionaries anymore. Well, somebody's dropped the ball along the way. You see, we've lost our focus about missions. Missions is not to go over there and to feed those that don't have, or feed the hungry. Missions is not to go over there and clothe the naked. Missions is to go over there and preach the gospel. Now, there's nothing wrong with providing clinics, and there's nothing wrong with providing clothing, and there's nothing wrong with feeding people. But if you forget to preach the gospel, you have missed the boat. Missions is all about the gospel. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. You see, the mission field is the whole world. It's not just Rome, New York. It's not just New York. It's not just the United States of America. It's not Mexico, the United States, and Canada. It's the whole world. And it's our responsibility to reach the world. Why? Because we're members of the church. See, I belong to a local Bible-believing Baptist church. My responsibility, being a member of a local Bible-believing Baptist church, is to go into all the world and preach the gospel. That's my responsibility. Now, I can't go everywhere, but I can sure help out sending people everywhere. That's why I get involved in Faith Promise missions. That's why my wife and I spend hours praying about what God would have us to do. I'll never forget last year, we were praying about what God would have us to do in our missions conference, and I came up with a number that, to her, was laughable. And she says, "That's not the number I got." I said, "Well, you write yours on a piece of paper, I'll write mine on a piece of paper, and we'll see what they are." We put them together, and she came up with this huge amount of money. I said, "What? What?" And she says, "Don't you have any faith?" Oh, boy. Wives sometimes aren't very kind. And I said, "Well, faith, yeah, I've got faith, but I don't want to be stupid either. I mean, let's pray about it a little bit more." And, you know, the Lord just touched our heart. And sure enough, I believe God was right. And we've been doing it for a year now, $100 a week, and I didn't think we could do it. But God has blessed us so much for it. And folks, it's not because we make a lot of money. We don't. But God has blessed us. And see, some folks, $100 a week could be just a drop in the bucket. But when she came up with $100 a week, I came up with $60 a week. And she, no wonder she laughed at my amount. I mean, it was laughable compared to hers, but that's the wonderful thing about faith, and you step out by faith and do something, God will always bless you for it. See, I want you to think about this real quick. We've got to go with the gospel message. It's the work of the church, so we go out with the gospel. Think about the gospel with me for just a minute. I'm going to make it a real quick and acrostic out of gospel. The G, it's God's gospel. It's not man's gospel. Because if it was man's gospel, you know what would happen? You'd have to work. You'd have to work your way to heaven. But it's not a work salvation. It's a gift. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's God's gospel. Man would have never come up with that because he'd have to be good enough. Man is still trying to be good enough in his religion. Matter of fact, God will smile on me someday. No, God won't. Not until you repent of your sin and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's God's gospel. The O in gospel. There's only one gospel. There's not many gospels. There's only one. As a matter of fact, if you go to Galatians chapter 1, if anything else is preached other than that, it's a perverted gospel. It's not the true gospel. Do you realize that in many churches in the land today that a perverted gospel is preached every Sunday? A perverted gospel. Listen, folks, the pure gospel is Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross of Calvary for you and for me. There's only one gospel. Whoever else it was that mentioned it, it's not Allah. It's not Confucius. It's not Buddha. It's Jesus Christ. Jesus is the way, the truth, and life. No man cometh unto the Father but through the Lord Jesus Christ. Then the S, it brings salvation. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Well, I don't know about you, but Romans chapter 1, verse 16 excites me. That's the power of God. Somebody say, "Well, that power, that's dynamite power." You know, when that was written, dynamite wasn't even created yet. It hadn't even been thought of yet. That's not dynamite power. It's an I can do gospel. It's a gospel that God does, not you and me. It's the power of God. God can do. all things are possible through Him, not through me. When I got saved, it wasn't anything that I did. It was all what He did. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Don't get any thoughts in your mind that you did something to get saved. No, it's no works on our part. It's what He accomplished for us on the cross of Calvary, the P in gospel. It's personal. I want to tell you something. When I got saved, it was personal. It was like that preacher was pointing at me. I was only 8 years old. What's he pointing at me for? Well, I'll tell you what, that pew was on fire, and I had to go down and get down on my knees at that altar. It was personal. It was between me and God, and I had to get right with God. In John chapter 3, you find a fellow by the name of Nicodemus, and he comes to Jesus by night. And Jesus could have talked to him about a myriad of things, but he comes in and Jesus says, "Ye must be born again." What? I'm a religious man. Don't you understand who I am? Ye must be born again. What? It was personal. This wasn't national. It had nothing to do with the nation of Israel. It had nothing to do with the Jews. It had something to do with Nicodemus and his lost condition. And what a horrible thing it would have been for Jesus to say, "Ye must be born again," and not tell him how. But he did tell him how. In John chapter 3 and verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Wow. It just keeps getting better and better, doesn't it? It's personal. Then the E. We've got everyone to tell. Amen. He's the propitiation for our sins, but not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. It's a whole world to reach. You can't witness to the wrong person. Then the L. It's the love of God on display. I've already quoted it, but John 3:16, "For God so loved the world." God loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever will may come and drink of the water of life freely. Whosoever. All you have to do is trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Well, I tell you what, it gets more exciting every time I say it. It just gets greater and greater the more I look at it. And every day I live as a Christian, it becomes more and more awesome. I have an awesome God. And I want to tell you something. This church serves an awesome God. You see, missions is the work of the church. Number three, missions is the walk of the Christian. Look, if you will, in the book of Philippians. Philippians. Chapter 1. Notice what it says down here in Philippians chapter 1. Verse 27. It says, "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ." Your conversation. Now, folks, that word conversation doesn't mean what you say. You got a King James Bible, right? Nobody has an NIV here. All right, that word conversation doesn't mean what you say. It means how you walk. See, how you live in this world. How you present yourself. The walk of a Christian is as becometh the gospel. You see, missions is the Christian's walk. Every place we go, you know what? In Antioch, they were called Christians first in Antioch. Why do you suppose they were called Christians first in Antioch? Because these lost folks were saying, "Man, you want to know how a Christian acts? Well, there, look at these people. That's how a Christian acts. How is a Christian supposed to walk and talk? There, those people. That's how they walk and talk." You see, the word Christian means partisan of Christ, or, or a part of Christ. And these people presented Christ in everything they did and said. They could see Jesus Christ in them. That's the way we ought to walk. We ought to walk in such a way everybody sees Christ in us. The Bible says, follow His steps. Yes, we ought to follow His steps, but we ought to be like Him. We ought to have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ that oozes out. And a relationship where everybody sees us and says, I want what they've got. Because they are different. They're not like the rest of the world. They live above the world. They're not involved in all the things that the world does. They're not into it all that junk. You see, they walk like Christ would have walked. Look, if you will, back here in the book of Ephesians, back a couple pages. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1. Ephesians 4 and verse 1 says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Walk worthy. What's the vocation we've been called to? We've been called to missions. We've been called to live the gospel out in this world. We've been called to be Christ's here upon this earth. Wow. Preacher, you mean that? Yes, that's the way we're supposed to act. We're partisans of Christ. If they were called Christians first in Antioch, we've got something to live up to. We need to, people need to look at, you know what? The problem, here's what the problem is. Too many people say, oh, I'm a Christian. Oh, really? You're a Christian? What church you go to? Well, I don't go to church. Oh, yeah, I'm a Christian. Oh, really? Really? And they look at the way you're dressed. Oh, yeah, I'm a Christian. And you got a cigarette hanging you. Oh, yeah, I'm a Christian, holding the Bud Light. Oh, yeah, I'm a Christian. Folks, my Bible says to abstain from the appearance of evil. If we're going to abstain from the appearance of evil so we can act like Jesus acted. You know something? Here's the measure of right and wrong. Can you envision Jesus doing a lot of the things that you do? Can you envision Jesus telling little white lies? Can you envision Jesus going to the movie house? Can you envision Jesus going to the dances? Can you envision Jesus going down to the bar? Can you envision Jesus going to play billiards? Can you imagine the Lord Jesus Christ going to a Yankees game and sitting there while somebody's passing beer across the way? Now, please don't misunderstand me. I'm not opposed to sports. I'm not opposed to going to ball games. But folks, listen to me. What's our purpose on earth? It's missions. There's something far more important than a Yankees game, and there's something far more important than a Bills game, and there's something far more important than living the things that we do in this world. And that's living for Jesus and doing what God wants us to do. Missions is the will of God. Missions is the work of the church. Missions is the walk of a Christian. That's what missions is. Missions is you. You know what? You're the only one. Let me correct this. I want to get this right. You are the ones that make missions work in Friendship Baptist Church. You don't get involved, it doesn't work. It takes the church to get involved. It takes the church excited. It takes the church praying. It takes the church active in missions. Let's stand very quietly, every head bowed, every eye closed. No one looking around. Our precious Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for this time that you've given us tonight. And we're so thankful, Lord, that we've had the opportunity to hear the things and see the things that we've heard tonight. Holy Spirit of God, I pray that you'd work in our lives. And dear God, I just pray that you'd help us right now. Help us to decide that we're going to be involved in missions and we're going in all out, Lord. We're not holding back anything. Please, dear God, work in our lives, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask you to come tonight. Bow your heads. Close